Well, welcome back.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, everybody, and I would say a warm welcome, but it's still a bit nippy. But welcome back again. And to those of us physically here, that's great to see you. And to everybody who might be watching online, hello. And anybody who will be watching online later, we've had a great time, and hello. So, yes, that's our welcome back. So, now, the notices are on the weekly news sheet, detailing such exciting things as the Advent calendar, the Nativity Trail, the Badges of Hope, which you will see people wearing, and I think are at the back or outside if you want to pick one up, and Eddie's Advent Challenges. I'm sort of going to have to search through and find out what that is myself. So anyway, if you're interested in any of those things, have a look on our website. So let us just have a moment of silence as we prepare to meet with God. Might be a long moment of silence. Yes. Right then, it's going to be one of those days. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. We meet in the presence of God, who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. Be with us, Spirit of God. Nothing can separate us from your love. Breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with your saving power. Speak in us wisdom of God. Bring strength, healing, and peace. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. We're going to start the service today by saying these words together from the prophet Isaiah. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honourable, and if you honour it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. Now, you might wonder why I picked that rather interesting verse from the prophet Isaiah, apart from the fact that I really enjoy the prophet Isaiah. But it's Advent, it's the second Sunday of Advent. Now, traditionally, on the second Sunday of Advent, we think of the prophets. That's why I picked the prophet Isaiah, who foretold of God's great work. But this year, as well as thinking of the prophets at this time, we are in the light of the teaching series that we had running up to Advent. We are going to call to mind the four practices that we've been exploring each week. And the second sermon on the series, I remember quite well because I did it. It was all about the Sabbath. You see, there is madness in, no, there is method in my madness. And that's why we had that beautiful bit from Isaiah. So we are I am going to go over here to light two candles. So the first one last week was for silence and solitude. And this one, the second one, is for the Sabbath, for spending time with God and allowing to find joy in his presence. So Lord, this Advent, help us to find joy in your presence. As we rest in you, surrounded by you. So now, in traditional Advent way, we're going to stand. We're not going to sing, but you can sort of mime along to the music of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. If you'd like to stand, please.
Thank you.
if you'd like to have a seat. Now, before we move on to our confessions, I'd like to share this little bit of a meditation with you. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Those words from Hebrews 4. But to open ourselves to God in prayer is to risk being vulnerable. Prayer is unprotected love. God knows with the finest sensitivity how each of us needs to be challenged and changed. Yet prayer is a safe and secure place in which to expose to God everything that we are, because we are so deeply loved by Him. Corporate worship is also a kind of unprotected love. As we gather to meet the One who knows our inmost hearts and desires to take possession of us, in the foolishness of the divine love, Jesus was laid bare for us on the cross. Are we prepared for our part to lay open to Him our deepest being in the radical offering of ourselves that underlies all prayer and worship? So as we, in a moment or two, prepare to make our confession, let us know that we are in a safe and secure place where we can expose to God everything that we are, because we are so deeply loved by Him. Saint Paul says, "Be imitators of God. Love as Christ loved. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Put away all anger and bitterness, or slander and malice." So let us confess our sins to God, who forgives us in Christ. Let us take a minute to allow the Holy Spirit to prompt us with those things that we need to lay bare before Christ this morning, and allow Him to challenge us and to change us as He will. Please join in with the words on the screen. God our Father, long-suffering, full of grace and truth, you create us from nothing and give us life. You give your faithful people new life in the water of baptism. You do not turn your face from us nor cast us aside. We confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbour. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. Restore us for the sake of your Son and bring us to heavenly joy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. God is compassionate. God is gracious. We are forgiven in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we're going to have our reading. Patience is bringing it to us.
The reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, starting at the third verse. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, 'Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smouldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, and of the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, "Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it." Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says: it will not take place, it will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and to the head of Samaria is only Ramallah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. Then the Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now Peter is going to come and open up those words for us.
Good morning to those of you who are here with us in church, and good morning to those of you who are online. And if you're watching this, having picked it up on YouTube at some other time, good afternoon or good evening. If Margaret and I seem to dash off at the end, it's not because we don't want to talk to you. It's simply that we're going to dash off home and start Zoom coffee. So if you all dash off home and start your computers, you'll be able to join us for coffee at that time. So, yeah, we do have trouble with biblical names, don't we? Well done, patience. Mind you, sometimes English parents aren't too clever with names either. I remember hearing once Sebastian Coe saying, if you're born in Sheffield and your parents call you Sebastian, you learn to run fast at a very early age. Mind you, things could have been worse. Way back in October 1811, Thomas Chapman got married to Isabella. At least they had reasonable names. But they spent the next 20 years having children, whom they christened Absalom, Tamar, Abigail, Barzillai, Eleazar, Azariah, Ezra, Eunice, Tirzah, Naomi, Zipporah, and Benjamin. Mostly Old Testament names. Eunice is New Testament, and if you haven't heard of all the others, you can look them up when you get home. I happen to know that because they're part of my ancestry. I'm actually descended via different lines from both Eleazar and Tamar. So names can be a bad thing. That's the way it goes. But none of those names are perhaps as bad as what Isaiah called his son. Fancy being christened Shir Jashub. Literally, that means a remnant will return. The country of Israel hadn't even been taken into exile at that time, but later on it would lose in war. They would be taken out into exile, and indeed, several generations later, a remnant would return. But can you imagine that lad's first day at school? Name, Joshua. Name, Ruth. Name, Naomi. Name, a remnant will return. No, I said name. Yes, a remnant will... You can see the story, can't you? I mean, could it be worse? It does just show that you have to choose your parents very carefully. And whatever else, don't become the son of a prophet, obviously. But then, even with English names, it's all right because we understand them. If we meet someone called Bill, we know that the birth certificate probably says William. If we meet a Becky, we know that the birth certificate probably says Rebecca, and so on. But what about Ahaz? We read it and we think, oh yes, his name was Ahaz. That's because it's not a proper English name. But that wasn't his name. Ahaz was just like a Liz or a Becky or a Bill. It was a shortened form of Jehoahaz. And if you want to read about the guy, Jehoahaz, you can do so in the second book of Kings. And Jehoahaz actually means God holds, literally. Perhaps more reasonably, we might think that it says God protects. Not a bad name to have. God holds, God protects. That's Jehoahaz. Unfortunately, Jehoahaz or Ahaz didn't even believe his own name. If you read the story in 2 Kings, you'll find out that basically he was a weak king. He was an idolatrous king, and generally he was a bad thing. Not good in a time of crisis. And Israel at that time was certainly in a time of crisis. So we might ask, well, what constitutes a crisis? Well, the first thing is medically. It's a term, and medically a crisis is a turning point. It's where a patient's condition will change drastically for better or for worse. Does that remind you of COVID? More generally, a crisis may be a time of disagreement. Remind you of Brexit talks? Or maybe it's a time of confusion, like understanding the tears. Have you seen in the news the family that live in Otley, and most of their house is in tier 3, but their conservatory and back garden is in tier 2 because the boundary runs through their property? Yes, a crisis is definitely a time of confusion. And it's also a time of suffering. Perhaps you've heard of the suffering which is called the national economy. Who'd want to be the Chancellor of the Exchequer at the moment? Decisions are needed. A crisis needs decisions. It is a turning point. And basically, if it doesn't demand action, then it isn't a crisis. If it doesn't demand action, it isn't a crisis. Now, Ahaz had a crisis in Israel. Israel and Syria had joined forces to attack his kingdom, Judah, the southern half of what is now Israel. And he had a choice. He could go to the local superpower of Assyria for help, or he could go to God for help. And Ahaz made the wrong decision. He went to Assyria for his help. And it was at that point, basically, that Isaiah came to him and said, hey, you're getting this all wrong. God protects, God holds. Don't you believe your own name? So there we are. And actually, going to Assyria did bring him a short-term gain, because Assyria said, okay, yeah, I'll help you. You've brought me all these nice gifts, so I will go and I will attack your enemies. And he did, and he won. But of course, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And Ahaz became a sort of servant king. He was expected to do what Assyria told him thereafter. So the short-term gain led to a long-term loss. He lost his total independence. He was simply Assyria's puppet. And when he visited them, he saw a pagan altar there. And he thought, wow, that looks good. There's a nice altar here. We ought to have one of those in Jerusalem. So he had it drawn and he had it measured, and he sent the information back to the priests of the temple in Jerusalem. And he said, build me an altar like this in the temple. Sacrilege. He was putting up a pagan altar in the temple of the one true God. And Isaiah said, don't panic, just trust God. And if you take nothing else from this morning, remember these words of Isaiah to King Jehoahaz or Ahaz, Isaiah 7 and the second half of verse 9. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. Of course, Ahaz should have listened to God's prophet. Final joke, it was easy for him to know if he was talking to a prophet. If you look at a prophet and one eye's higher than the other, then you'll know he's a prophet. End of jokes. Maybe it's harder to discern prophets today, but the world is certainly in a crisis. Well, foundations that we've laid on an economy that's always growing, on material riches, have all been swept away. Rich countries need to make some global decisions, and maybe the coronavirus has pushed other things into the background, but let's not forget that our greed and our selfishness is filling the oceans with plastic. Our greed and our selfishness is causing global warming, and we have to make some decisions. And this coronavirus certainly doesn't just respect national boundaries. And perhaps we have to decide not whether we trust Assyria or God, but whether we are going to trust our government or God. Decisions have to be made. What about our country? How do we give it support? How are we going to balance our national budget? Is it right, for instance, to cut foreign aid from 0.7% to 0.5%? After all, nearly all of us are in the top 10% of the world's richest, and many of us watching this online or sitting here in church will find that we are actually in the top 2% of the world's richest people. We just avoid comparing ourselves with the average villager in Africa. Is this nation called to be a force for good in the world, or are we simply going to look after ourselves? Ahaz wanted to look after himself. He was a weak king in a difficult crisis, and he was without hope. I would suggest to you that any godless nation can easily be without hope in a time of crisis. Perhaps it is too easy for our government just to listen to political lobbyists, to the scientists and the party supporters, and to ignore God and his prophets and spokespersons. Now, God doesn't expect us to set our brains aside in a time of crisis when making decisions. He gave us brains so we could use them. But he does expect us to listen to him. Don't choose the government. Choose God. And perhaps that's all the more reason why we should be praying for Christians in Parliament, those working in Westminster, and organisations like CARE, Christian Action, Research and Education, bringing a Christian perspective to our government. And perhaps, compared to all that, our own personal crises seem a bit small. Do I go to the supermarket or should I shop online? What should I do this Christmas? Am I going to see family? Or am I going to stay away and avoid social contact? And amazing as it may seem, the help that is more important than the government is simply God. And God is interested in each decision that we make and in each action that we take. He wants us to bring hope in the darkness, our theme for this Advent. He wants us to have faith in a crisis. It's not something we can leave to others. Hope is not wishful thinking, but hope is based on solid reason. Our solid reason is knowing that we can have a personal relationship with God, our Creator, God, our Saviour. We can bring hope in the darkness. We may call it faith, but the evidence is there. We can have faith in the crisis. And responding to the crisis as people of faith will require three things of us. I would suggest that first of all, we respond by having courage. Have the courage to do the right thing, to say the right thing, even if our actions are the actions of a minority, even if what we do, what we say, makes us a very small and perhaps by many people ignored minority, but let's do it anyway. Trust God. Remember Jehoahaz. God holds. God protects. He didn't believe his name, but we can. And the second thing that we need is confession. It's a repentance. It's perhaps an acknowledgement that we in this part of the world have created many of the crises that face the world. We may think, this pandemic all started in China, and it may just be a coincidence that it started in Wuhan, the Chinese equivalent, if you like, of Portland Down, where they were experimenting with these things. That may be a coincidence. It may not. Up to you to decide. But the fact that the virus spread from there so dramatically quickly around the world is simply because we wanted to be able to travel quickly and efficiently around the world. And you may be sitting there thinking, hey, I don't get on aeroplanes and fly all over the world. It wasn't me. But on the other hand, we do go into a supermarket and we do expect to be able to buy fruit and vegetables of all sorts all around the year. Our children and our grandchildren perhaps don't understand seasonal vegetables anymore and seasonal fruit, because it's all there all the time, because other people have flown around the world. And because we wanted that, well, we don't only fly those good things around the world, but of course we've enabled the virus to be flown quickly around the world as well. So don't blame God for this pandemic. What we need to do is confess that we too, by our actions, by our desire for perhaps what we thought was a better life, may have contributed to what is happening. Let's recognize our own failings as individuals and as a society. And thirdly, we need not just courage and confession, but we need confidence. Confidence to speak truth to power, confidence to proclaim the good news of Jesus, confidence not just to speak, but to live the gospel. Yes, let's wear our badges. Let's bring hope in the darkness, and let's be prepared to share that hope with others. Friends, as you go around this week, let's bring hope to the darkness.
So we're going to have a few moments of reflection on all those wonderful words, quite challenging words, Peter. So thank you for voicing those challenges to us. We're going to mull over what Patience read, what Peter spoke, and what God has been saying to us during that wonderful sermon. So let us just have a few moments of silence. Now, our next hymn this morning is not one I've ever sung, but as we're not singing, that's not going to be a problem. But it is a wonderful Advent hymn, which I think we can use as a prelude to our intercessions, a pre-prayer prayer, if you like. So, as Peter plays it through, there are three verses. I'm hoping that I can remember enough when to flick the words over, but bear with, as they say. Reflect on the words of the song, and remember that it is a Advent hymn.
Let's pray. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. and he has become my salvation. A quote from Isaiah. Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for your great love, which is freely available to those who trust in you. And so we bring our prayers to you with confidence that you will hear and answer, and that you will give us your strength so that we can sing songs of praise to you. So we pray for our world. We pray, Lord, for those countries that are suffering due to the virus. It brings more pain to these places where there is unrest, war, lack of food and health care. We ask you to bless the work of the aid agencies. And we pray that as a country, we may be generous in our financial support. We pray for our mission partners as they serve you in difficult and challenging situations. We remember those who are in Peru, for Julio and Norma. And we pray for Eloise in the Lebanon. We pray, Lord, that they may know your peace and your protection as they serve you. And we pray for our own country at this time. We thank you for the rapid production of the vaccine for the virus. And we pray, Lord, that this may be safe and effective as it is administered. May the people who receive it first be the ones who most need it. And we pray for the logistics of the program of vaccination. And we pray for those involved in the Brexit negotiations. Lord, may they be given your wisdom. And we pray that there will be an outcome which is beneficial to us as a country and other countries. We pray for our town, for our county and district councils. May they make wise decisions about moving us out of these restrictions and getting our businesses and our shops back on a financially firm grounding. We pray for those whose income has been greatly reduced. And we ask that our blessings fund, the food bank, the Octagon pantry, and all the hampers will help and support those in need this Christmas. We pray for our schools, our hospital, our doctor's surgeries, that they may be protected and be safe places for all who work there and visit. We pray for our church and for all the Christmas initiatives that will be happening in the next few weeks. We pray for the Christmas leaflets that have now been delivered. May they bring joy and hope to those in our town. We pray for the Advent calendar, the Nativity Trail, the Hope Badges, the Christingle and Messy Zooms, the Bags of Hope, and all our planned services. May these, Lord, be honouring and glorifying to you and bring hope to those who partake. And we pray for Dave, for Peter, for Eddie and Helen, that you will uphold and inspire them as they lead us through Christmas. Now in a time of silence, let's bring to the Lord those people and things that we have in our hearts, praying that in all these situations, people will know his hope and his love. Loving God, you know us and all that we are facing. We thank you that we can come to you as we are, with all our fears, our concerns, our difficulties and challenges. Please draw close to each of us and those that we have remembered before you. Bring to us and them your peace and comfort. And fill us with your Spirit, that way we may be bearers of your grace and your hope to those around us. As a country, protect us, encourage us, and keep us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So we come now to the communion, to the peace. So if you'd like to stand. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be with you. And also wave at one another. That's it.
And it's lovely to be able to celebrate communion in both kinds with you this morning.
And we come as a church family, as God's family. From the youngest, Archer, it's lovely to have you here with us, to the oldest, Frank, it's lovely to have you here with us too. And we come to be thankful for all that God has done for us. And ultimately, that actually this birth of Jesus, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, actually was a baby that came to die for you and for me, that we might no longer be distanced from God, but brought home. And so the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. And on the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and he gave you thanks. He broke it and said and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit, that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. And with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And do sit or kneel as we come to say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Do come up as I instructed you at the beginning of the service. And if you don't want to, don't feel comfortable about receiving communion, then please do come up for a blessing and just keep your hands beside you, and I will say a socially distanced blessing over you.
So if you'd like to join in the post-communion prayer on the screen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. God of glory, you nourish us with your word, who is the bread of life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So may the peace of the Lord Christ go with us, wherever we may be. May he guide us through the wilderness, protect us through the storm. May he bring us home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. And now a few words from our sponsor.
Just a couple more things about the notices. And that is one thing. Tonight, we are having Deeper Online tonight. And we've got a guest speaker who's going to be zooming in all the way from Leicester. Several of us have been doing the Mission Shaped Living course, which finished last Sunday. It's been a brilliant course, and there's loads of fantastic stories to tell. And we're going to be telling many of those stories tonight. Several people are going to share what it's meant to them and what God's done through that course. But John McGinley, who's coming to speak to us tonight, wrote the course. It's a new course that was published only in August. And we're going to run it again later on this spring and probably run it several times. So tonight is an opportunity to come on along, find out about the course, hear some really brilliant teaching from John. John is New Wine Head of Church Planting, so really quite high up in New Wine, is a great speaker. He's speaking about what it means to be open to the Spirit in mission, which is a great thing to look at the moment. So that's going to be at 7:15 on Zoom. The details are on the mailing. If you want to, haven't got that and want the details from me, then email me or contact me later. Just to say, too, that our in-person services this year at Christmas and the Zoom Christingle and the Zoom Messy Church are all going to need to be booked into. And bookings have opened already for Christingle and Messy Church. And we really encourage not just children and families to come, but anyone to come, particularly to the Christingle. I think Christingle on Zoom is going to be really special this year and really different. And if you book in online, Helen will drop you round a bag of Christingle stuff so you can make your own Christingle at home on Zoom with everybody else in the service. So it's going to be great, but you do need to book into that. Either book in online. The bookings for the other services are going to be open, I think, tomorrow. And if you haven't got access to the internet, then do phone into the office and we can put your bookings down separately. So those details are coming out this week. And we do have limited places for in-person services. And we do also want to make sure that people from the community who aren't part of us have the chance to come in to see those as well. So that's there. Do keep wearing your badges. If you haven't got a badge, do pick one out on the way out and pick up some business cards if you want to just give them to them. I've heard some lovely stories of people wearing their badges this week and opening up conversations, particularly one of our St. Andrew's members who works in the hospital in Worcester. She's been wearing them all week and people have been asking her lots and she's having some great conversations about it. And the other thing, I'd really encourage you to continue watching the Advent calendar online. Tomorrow we have, it comes all the way from the slums of Bangkok. And on Tuesday we have an amazing story of one of the guys that became a Christian through Alpha in this summer. It is not to be missed, that one. It is an absolutely amazing story. That's Tuesday's. And Peter is on today. And the Nativity Trail opens on Saturday. We're going to have Mary and Gabriel here at All Saints. The selfie nativity scene is up at St Andrew's. And there's seven houses on the way, including Diane Southall, who's going to have the inn at hers, aren't you? So that's not to be missed either. So lots happening, and do enjoy yourselves with that and spread the word. If we can go out that way, sanitize your hands on the way out, chat outside but not inside, and coffee Zoom at 11:30 if you want to meet up and chat with others on that. Thank you.